show is a part of the Quite the Thing Media Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody.
This is Kim.
And this is Kel. And you're listening to Shiny Things.
We did it in order this time.
We did.
I didn't jump the gun.
Get the flashlight.
Oh, I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll...
Okay, so we're going to have our creep off.
I know. Hope you guys are ready for this because I think I'm going to win, but I'm anxious to hear about...
I don't know. I think I'm going to win. Now, remember, after you hear this podcast, go on to Facebook or go on to Twitter and vote for who you think was the creepiest, because Kelly and I will win bragging rights.
Yes. And we're very competitive like that.
And I want to win because I really think this guy is the creepiest.
We'll see. I don't even know who she has.
We keep it secret.
We do. Do we have any updates or anything like that?
Did we talk about the guy in the woods that looked for himself?
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was really funny.
Brian.
Yeah, laundry.
That piece of shit.
And then... Yeah, I'm curious to see, because now they have anthropologists involved to see what his cause of death was.
Why?
Because it was deemed that they couldn't find a cause of death. So, but that's the thing, too. And then they said he was underwater for possibly weeks.
Wait, what does an anthropologist do? I mean, I don't get it.
They tend to look at, they'll look at the body, but they'll also kind of look at, the surroundings and things like that, where a coroner just focuses on they have.
Okay.
I really don't give a shit how he died.
I'm kind of upset, kind of disappointed that he is dead.
I really wanted him to do jail time. And his parents, too.
You think they will?
I hope so, because, I mean, so people were searching for him for weeks. They walk into the woods and in 15 minutes they find him.
It just seems really weird, but here's the other thing.
I mean, it's all alleged at this point, but...
Why would they withhold that?
That's my... I don't know.
I mean, if they already know their son is dead...
I'd want to put him at peace, but I don't know.
But why didn't they start looking prior to that?
Well, my thing is, it's like the
Maybe
whole...
Maybe their lawyer told them not to?
Even that, I mean, the whole thing is just so messed up.
I know their lawyer advised them not to be talking about it at all, but man, was me and people were throwing, shade on me, I would be talking.
Well, my thing is too, it's like I would have been on TV and saying we just want you to come home. Right. Everything will be okay. We just want you to come home. But they never did anything that.
It's very weird. I know that if I knew that my kid killed somebody, I'm ratting you out.
Right.
I'm not helping you.
Especially in such a horrible way. You know what I mean?
I mean, if there was a reason behind it, she was in danger, her life was in danger, okay.
Right, self-defense
is... But if you did it that cold-heartedly, yeah, I'm telling on you.
Right.
I'm a narc.
Me too. Our girls are too.
Yeah, oh yeah, Lauren, yeah. Lauren's definitely a narc.
That's what I always tell the principal. I'm like, no, Az is a narc, and she told me what happened, so don't try to sugarcoat it.
Lauren used to tell on herself. It was like taking candy from a baby. Did you write on that wall? No. Lauren, did you write on the wall? Yes, I did. It's like, all right.
Get the Mr. Clean.
You're cleaning it. You did it. You're cleaning it. Oh, God.
All right.
But
let's
anyway.
Start the creep off. So who do you have for us, Kim?
My creep's name is Joe Tiny, he was referred to. Methany.
Okay. I've never heard of him before.
And I don't really know if I'm pronouncing his last name right. Methany.
Methany, yeah.
Okay. So picture it. You're a hungry traveler. You see a roadside stand advertising hamburgers. And since you're so hungry, you decide to stop for a quick bite to eat. A nice juicy burger would sure hit the spot right about now. So you place your order. Maybe this little roadside stand has a beer. Or maybe you just opt for the Coke.
Beer.
Well, if they don't have a liquor license, you're definitely getting Coke.
Yeah, that's true. Most of them don't have liquor licenses.
But little did you know, you'd be biting into a burger made of human meat.
Yuck.
So this scenario actually is a true story. Starring none other than Joe Tiny Metheny himself. And no, he wasn't tiny. He was actually 6 foot tall and morbidly obese. And yes, this is really a true story. I'm not making this up. Thankfully, human burgers are no longer served up at this by this fucking psycho. He's just served time.
Oh, good.
So you're probably wondering how and when Joe began his killings. Well, wonder no more. Joe was never accused of being the nicest guy, and maybe that's why his wife left him and took their son. He became enraged, and when he found out he had been abandoned by his wife and child, he began searching everywhere for them. And he was like a man on a mission.
Stalker.
Mm-hmm. So with every passing day, he got more pissed off and more enraged. And he became out of control. He was basically bad enough to begin with, but then he turned into a worse person. So one of the first places he looked for them was under a bridge where his wife used to do drugs.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, I guess
that's he had to be pretty bad if... I don't know. Okay.
So, of course, he didn't find her, but he did come across two guys she used to hang out with. And when they couldn't tell Joe where she was, or maybe they couldn't tell, who knows? They may have known, but they didn't want to rat her out. You know, they were trying to protect her. Because he was kind of a crazy bitch.
Yeah, he seemed like it.
He took his anger out on them with an axe.
Ooh.
And then he realized he had been being watched by a fisherman. Because he was down by the water.
Leave no witnesses.
Mm-hmm. And he was pretty sure that this man had witnessed what he had done. So he did what any depraved asshole would do. And he killed him too. But seeing that this was his first murdering attempt, he panicked and he was a little bit sloppy and he dumped the three bodies in the river. And I'm not sure who or how the authorities found out about the murders, but he was brought in for questioning. But since there wasn't enough evidence to convict, the scumbag went free and he killed more people. Now, with some killing experience under his belt, Joe then killed two prostitutes. He raped and strangled them, but instead of tossing them in the river, Metheny brought their bodies home, dismembered them, and buried the quote-unquote unusable parts in a truck lot owned by the pallet company he worked for. Hold on to your stomach, Kelly.
Okay.
He then mixed the fleshy, usable parts of the prostitutes with a mixture of beef and pork, forming little burgers. Over the next several weeks, he sold the hamburgers out of a small barbecue stand he opened on the side of the road. So for the next several weeks, the locals were consuming bits of human flesh, and he was making money off it. Yuck.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. What's even more disgusting is that Metheny told police no one complained about the meat tasting funny. And in fact, no one seemed to notice that his burgers had an extra little something. He also made the statement that human bodies taste remarkably like pork. So not only was he serving it up, he was trying it too.
But, okay, devil's advocate. What if humans are delicious?
Oh, God. I just had a nice drink. Don't make me throw it up. Like I said, that's disgusting, and I could throw up just thinking about it.
I know, but I'm just like devil's advocate. You never know.
Well, I mean, they say everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I don't want to find out.
No, people are gross. Like, we eat too many toxic things, and
I do not want to know if humans taste like chicken.
No, I don't intend to find out, but
I'm vegan. So in 1996, he was finally caught when a victim, well, an attempted victim, was able to escape and went to the police. Joe admitted to killing over 10 people and disposing of them. And he allegedly said he would have never stopped if he hadn't been caught, and that he committed the murders because he enjoyed it. He just got a rush out of it and had no real excuse as to why he killed other than he really, really, really liked it. Eventually, he was found guilty, thank God, because the first time he was
released.
So he was found guilty and sentenced to death, but unfortunately, the ruling was overturned, and in 2000, it was changed to 2 life sentences. But there is a happy ending because he died in his cell in 2017.
What did he die of?
Didn't say. Maybe he ate too many hamburgers.
Maybe. Maybe he got the prion disease. Because they, it's, so CJD. It's like Jacob's disease, and it's a prion, and it's usually a hereditary illness, and the prion like makes these plaques on your brain, and you eventually like just die because your brain breaks down. And they say that, and because, so like when somebody dies of that, there's all of these different precautions you have to take, and if they've ever had surgery on their eyes, their spine, or any kind of thing with their nervous system, you have to let people know because it's transmissible.
Oh, wow. So, even after they're dead?
Mm-hmm. That's like mad cow. It's basically mad cow disease for people.
So let me ask you this. If you have this, how long do they live with it before they realize that?
Some people can have it for a long time. And then other people, like, so say one of his people that he ground up and he ate.
Could have given it to him.
Yep.
So here's the other thing. Would you think that it's possible that he had this and unknowingly he went on this rampage of eating people and killing people because this disease could have done something to his brain that made him do things that he normally wouldn't do?
That could be. Maybe he had the hereditary version. And it's a scary disease.
That's really scary.
Yeah.
And that makes me, like, first of all, are you really going to stop to a roadside barbecue grill and get a hamburger from some loser that you don't even know?
Yeah, he didn't seem like he was all
Are you kidding me? You have to have a license for that. Well, and put your gloves on, for God's sakes. If he's grinding people up, you know he didn't have gloves on.
Well, remember how I told you I was watching The Sopranos? Do you remember that episode?
I do.
I thought about that the whole time.
Oh, yeah. No.
I know I won't be eating the Satriali's sandwich for a while.
But I mean, that was pretty gross, don't you think?
That was pretty gross, but I think
you think you have me beat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Now, yours can't be much longer than mine.
Okay, so it has to be about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then after this, after people vote.
Bragging rights.
Bragging rights, and then we'll do another one.
Okay. Oh, I like this.
I think that people should write to us and tell us what they want us to have.
Or give us each an opponent, because then I can debate anything.
You know what my big statement is when I get backed into a corner? Shut up! Don't tell me!
All right, let's see what everybody thinks, because I'm going to start with my opponent, Albert Fish.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do this. All right, well, we heard Kim's creeper, but I
I'm pretty sure that I'm going to win this one. So let's see.
Okay, well, let's hear it and see if you win. I don't think you're going to, but.
I chose Albert Fish. He was originally born Hamilton Howard Albert Fish. He was born on May 19th in 1870. He was born in Washington, D.C. to Randall and Ellen Fish. His father was an American and his mother was a Scots-Irish American. I've never heard that term before, but I assume she was Scottish and Irish. So an interesting fact that could have led to why he was such a weirdo is that his parents, there was a 43-year-old age difference.
Wow. And
his dad was 75 when he was born.
Wow.
So I don't know if the old sperm had something to do with it.
How many years? You said
40? 43.
Holy crap. That's a big age difference.
Yeah, his dad was 75 when he was born.
Wow. Because he didn't go to too many. I think it's pretty safe to say he didn't end up going to his child's graduation.
Yeah, I don't think so. So he had other siblings, Walter, Annie, and Edwin. But Hamilton wanted to be called Albert after his deceased sibling. And to get rid of the ham and eggs name that everybody had given to him in the orphanage.
I'm sorry. Did you say ham and egg?
Yeah, because his name was Hamilton. So they called him Ham and Eggs.
Okay. All right. That's funny.
So he was about 5 when his father had died, but the whole family just had tons of mental illness. So after his father's death, Fish went to the St. John's Orphanage in Washington, D.C., where he was frequently abused. He actually began enjoying and getting pleasure from the abuse. So let's add this to another notch on the becoming a serial killer. So after Fish's mother landed herself a government job, Fish came home in 1880. In 1882, at the age of 12, he met a friend that we're just... So Ralph would kind of be the bad influence on Fish. So Ralph here introduced Fish to Urolagnia. You know, let's take a swing at that. And do you know what it could be?
No idea.
Drinking urine.
Get out of here.
And then he also introduced him to coprophagia, which is?
No.
Eating poop.
Oh, my God.
So this led Fish to visit public bathrooms.
Hell would you want to do that?
I don't know.
That
but
is
it,
gross.
I agree. You can get so sick from doing that. So he would go and he'd visit public bathrooms just to watch other boys undress. He would spend a great deal of time of his weekend in the baths. As he grew older, he would respond to mail order agencies, personal ads of women by writing obscene letters. And he seems like a great guy, you know? He like, you know, he seems, you just gotta get him some urine and poop and just set him up in a bathhouse and he seems content. But so at 20, he moved to New York City and he was a sex worker, but he also started raping young boys.
Oh no.
So in 1898, his mother had arranged a marriage for Fish. Fish married Anna Mary Hoffman. She was 9 years younger than Fish, and they had 6 kids. Albert, Anna, Gertrude, Eugene, John, and Henry. In 1898, Fish was employed as a house painter. So during this time, he continued to molest kids, especially boys. He preferred them to be under the age of 6.
Oh.
Yeah. And he would later become obsessed with sexual mutilation after he and one of his lovers visited a Wax Works Museum where Fish saw a bisected penis. So, let's move forward to 1917. Fish's wife left him.
Gee, I wonder why.
Right? I mean, he seems like so well adjusted.
God bless you.
But she left all the kids with him.
Oh my God. I was just going to say, I hope she took her children.
She didn't. And it wasn't long after she left that he began having auditory hallucinations. Soon he started to self-mutilate. He would embed needles into his groin and abdomen. He would also hit himself with a nail-studded paddle and insert wooden dowels in. He would put them in lighter fluid and then put them in his butt and light them on fire.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And this is just some of the stuff. So it said he never abused his kids, but he did let them use the nail-studded paddle on him. Not sure why, but this is thought to have led him to cannibalism. He would eat raw meat and even serve it to his kids.
Oh, my God.
So his criminal history started about 1903 for grand larceny. He was in Sing Sing prison out in Ossining, New York. 1910, while working in Wilmington, Delaware, Fish began a sadomasochist relationship with then 19-year-old Thomas Keaton. It was a consensual relationship until 10 days after they met, when Fish essentially kidnapped Keaton. Fish took Keaton to an old farmhouse where he would ultimately torture Keaton to the point of mutilation. He tied up Keaton, cut off half of his penis.
Oh my God.
I shall never forget his scream, quotes Fish, or the look he gave me. Initially, the plan was to kill Keaton and take him back home. This didn't pan out since it was really hot out and Fish didn't want to take the chance of getting caught. So I guess he's somewhat thinking. So instead, Fish washed the wound with peroxide, wrapped it up in Vaseline, and covered it with a handkerchief.
Vaseline?
Yeah. Yeah, Vaseline, like the that sticky stuff in the jar.
Yeah, he wanted, what was he trying to do, stick the piece back on?
I mean, no, he just covered what was left, because then he left him a $10 bill and he kissed Keaton goodbye and just left him there.
Oh my God.
So Fish later went on to say that he took the first train he could to get back home. Never heard what became of him or tried to find out. So, you know.
He never got put in prison for that?
No. And I, you know, nobody even knows what happened to the other half of the penis.
I think it's fair to say it wasn't usable anymore. So maybe it went in the trash.
Or he fed it to his children, one or the other.
Could be. Took it home for a midnight snack.
Or he was snacking on it on the train.
Oh, that's gross.
And then he gets, he's just such a stand-up guy. In 1919, Fish stabbed an intellectually disabled boy in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. This became his victim profile. He either hated the mentally handicapped and black people. He later claimed that these people would not be missed when they disappeared. He also claimed that he would pay kids to lure in other kids. He would then torture, mutilate, and murder the kids with his implements of hell. A meat cleaver, a butcher knife, and a handsaw. So, and then this is the creepiest thing. So, an 8-year-old Beatrice Keel was outside playing solo on her family's farm in Staten Island. He offered to pay her to help him look for rhubarb. Of course, she's 8 years old and she's willing, but thankfully her mother came out and chased him away. Fish slept in the barn trying to get to Beatrice. Luckily, her father found Fish and forced them to leave. While Beatrice got away, Francis McDonald would be murdered 3 days later. So he's like actively searching for all these. So during 1924, he also had a psychotic incident where he was experienced saying that God was commanding him to torture and sexually mutilate kids. And so went on his where he's the obscene letters.
Don't blame that on God.
No, exactly. This motherfucker is crazy. So the people he did kill that we know of, you know, a couple of them he left alive, but for the most part, it sounded like he killed close to home and then fed the fam with.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So he's a pretty effed up guy.
Yeah.
And I know how to keep it short, so I tried to get the highlights because it was pretty gnarly.
Well, I'll tell you, Cal. I think I know who won. That was horrible.
It was so gross. I'm sorry.
That was probably the most grossest thing I ever heard on a podcast.
He really is. He's way worse than the Kinderhook cannibal guy we just covered. Actually, he's worse than all the other cannibals because he was eating poop and pee.
That's disgusting.
Right? That bothers me most of all.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was
not much more to say. That was pretty disgusting. Yeah.
Yep. I know I need some Tums.
Yeah. I'm glad I hadn't eaten dinner before we did this.
That's why I suggested that we record before dinner time.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing. Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure everybody remembers that they can vote on Facebook.
Yes, and we need to get the catchphrase.
Yep. So if you listen to last week's catchphrase that Kelly just loves from The Sopranos, we're going to put up a question about that and see who gets it right.
And we might just have a prize that somebody can win.
For everybody that wins?
I think the first person to say it should win.
I think so too.
I think that's fair.
But just because somebody votes doesn't mean you can't too. Because if they don't respond to us, then they forfeit their goodie.
Right. Because it's got to be exactly what I said.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
And next week we have an episode coming up on Nikki Fitz and her daughter Ariana.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be a good one. I hope everybody listens because it's not funny. It's just to bring awareness to everybody that, you know, Nicole was murdered and they still haven't found her killer and her daughter is still missing. So.
And that's the worst kind.
Yep. But anyway.
So, yep. Sorry, guys. That was such a downer, but I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it was creepy.
And if you guys have any other ideas where we can compete, please share. Hey, guys. I just wanted to take a moment to gush about Anchor and how easy it is to make a podcast. First off, it's free. If it's free, it's for me. And who doesn't like free stuff? They have creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. So you can do it on the run, or if you're bored at lunch, you can fidget with your editing. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast streaming networks. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Don't go away. We have a special treat in store for you when I interview the author of Crazy Is as Crazy Does, The Life of a Serial Killer, John H. Mudgett. Welcome, John, to our podcast. And thank you for taking the time to be on so we can hear a little bit more about Crazy Is As Crazy Does, the life of a serial killer.
Well, thanks for having me there, Kim. I appreciate it.
So how is the book doing?
It's doing all right. I mean, it's been out a little over 2 years. I haven't really advertised full force, but except for late.
Okay.
Views right now on Amazon, so it's doing all right.
Well, first off, I have to say how much I liked it. I couldn't put that book down. Kelly was the same way, only I finished it way before her. And I'm not one for, I didn't think I was, for that kind of a book, like the murderer and the serial killer thing. And honestly, your book, it kind of opened all kinds of doors for me. Because now I'm actually watching scary movies.
So, oh, that's crazy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I loved it. So my first question, and it's like burning into my mind since I've read this book. Are you planning a sequel?
Well, I didn't originally plan for a sequel. I was going to actually, I don't know how much I should give away. I was actually going to, everybody was supposed to die. But then I said, I'm going to leave it open just in case.
I think that was smart.
Yeah, I think it might have been too, because little William keeps creeping in my mind and I keep writing little things down in the middle of the night when I wake up. I always have a notebook by my bed. And so, yeah, it might take a few more years, but it's definitely something that I've been thinking about lately.
So that's great, because I was really excited. What about, did you ever think of maybe a prequel? And dive into John's childhood and his teenage years.
Well, I mean, I kind of did it quickly. I mean, I gave you a little bit of what he was doing, but I wasn't going into more detail than the little bit that I did there. The prequel I was thinking of was starting when the kidnapping of William's mother and him with Chris. I was going to get into detail with that. Like, what did Chris do with them the 2 days he was missing before John caught up with him?
That's a fantastic idea.
You know, and that way it'll give a little more in-depth to William's sickness, where his is all going to come from. Because he's not the same type of serial killer as his grandfather. He's going to be a different one.
That's cool. Well, you know what? I'm trying not to give too much of this away, because I want people to be excited about it like I was and how Kelly was. But the ending blew me away.
I've been accused of making the ending a little bit too short, but it is a short. I try to keep it a short read.
Well, it's a novella, so.
I'm not a Stephen King novelist, but.
Not yet.
Not yet, right.
But you're definitely, I mean, it was fast, but it is a novella, like you said. It's a quick book. It's an easy read. But
right.
Honestly, that ending, it blew my mind. I didn't know where that was coming from. So it was definitely a surprise.
Well, that's good. That's the way I wanted it. So that's great to hear, you know, some live feedback besides a few people that I had given it to before I published it.
So, John, what inspired you to write Crazy Is As Crazy Does, The Life of a Serial Killer?
You know, it's funny you ask that. It's something that came to me like 20-something years ago. It was like 1995 after I watched Forrest Gump and how he went from one situation to the next and how, you know, he had real-life issues in there, like with Elvis and the presidents and things like that. But I was watching Sling Blade and Copycat Killer and a few other serial killer movies that came out during that time frame. And I don't know, it just hit me like, what if I had a guy who ran into real life people and how that would affect him in his way of killing? And so that's kind of where that came from. And it just, and I would tell people about this, like, you know, what if he ran into Ted Bundy? What if he ran into, you know, this guy or that guy? And people would be like, that's cool. You should write it. But I never really, I started to write it back in the 90s, but I never really had time. I was in the military back then, and I was always moving around, and I had a family. And now that my kids grew up and I had a little bit of time on my hands, I actually sat down and said, you know what? It's time for me. I'm going to write this. Because I don't know, I started watching Mindhunters on Netflix and things like that. And I'm like, it's time to get it out now. You know, everybody's into serial killers. I'm going to get it out now while it's hot.
Well, I tell you, as I read this book, I was in my head thinking, we did a podcast on that one, and we did a podcast on that one. So it was almost like it was even more, like, real.
But, right, and that's, I tried to keep it as real as I could.
It was a really good read, but I understand that you had a different name originally for the title of this novella.
Oh, yes, I did. It was called It's in the Blood. And but then I had to give homage to Forrest Gump, so that's why I changed it to Crazy Is As Crazy Does. And I also, I don't know if you noticed, but my last two chapters, one is entitled Crazy Is, and the other's entitled Crazy Does.
Cool.
So did you? Yeah, It's in the Blood, and then I also had Milk Cartons was the other one that I was going to name it Milk Cartons, because back in the day, they always had the missing persons on the milk cartons.
I remember that.
You remember that, yeah. Yes,
I'm aging myself. So when you changed the title, did that influence you in any different direction to change the dynamics of the book? Or did it basically just stay the same?
It basically stayed the same. Actually, what it did is it made me change my last two chapters, Crazy Is As Crazy Does, and name them that.
Okay.
So the last two chapters were named something else, but don't ask me what they were because I can't remember now. I just changed to those. Cause, and it's fitting, if you don't you agree?
I do. Actually, your book is the first book like its kind that I've ever read. I've never been one for the serial killer and murderers and stuff like that. But it you know what? It touches a different part of your brain, for sure.
I really appreciate that. And, you know, I try to cut some gore out at the end so people could sleep at night. You know, I didn't want to get too in detail with the severed heads and things like that. You know what I mean?
Well, I just really enjoyed it immensely. I did notice that I've read your acknowledgments, and really, to me, it seems like your family is an extremely important part of yourself. Is that a true statement?
Yes, very much true.
That's nice to hear. I like the fact that your mom wasn't really one to read that kind of stuff, but she was supportive.
Actually, she still has it on her table. She can't get past chapter 5, so...
Oh, push through it. You'll love it, and then you'll want more. Wait, she'll read the whole thing, and then she'll be on you like I am about writing a sequel. John, is this your very first book?
It is, actually, yes.
Well, yeah. If that's how good your first book was, I'm sure that the second and third will be even better.
Well, I hope so, but you know, the first, you can never beat the first one, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many screams are there now? The first scream is the best scream. The first Jason is the best Jason, you know what I mean?
I get it, but I just want to read more. I have to have another one.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm like I said, I am putting it all down for young William, and we'll see where that takes us.
Well, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much. I really enjoyed talking to you. Is there anything else you can tell us about the book before we go?
I'm not sure what would you like me to say. I mean, I appreciate that you love it so much, and you know, I'm glad that people out there, there's a few people out there that won't get this book because you really have to be into the serial killers. I don't know if you noticed that or not. I don't mention names.
Nope, I know. That's why it was really almost like a puzzle for me when I said, oh, I know who that was. We did a podcast. So it's like you have to use your imagination.
Yes, but I mean, they all are true people. Each chapter has a true person in it. And so if you're not familiar with the serial killers, you might not get this book. It's written for more of those people that are into true crime and they know exactly, you know, what I'm talking about.
Definitely.
But, I mean, even if you're a novice person and you're not into all the serial killers, you can still get something out of it, because the way he meets these people and what those people do and how it affects him, you know, or how he affects them, you can see it. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
But it's better if you know who I'm talking about. You'll get it a lot more.
It probably is, but I think there's a lot more people like you and I out there than we even realize. You know? You have to have that certain kind of sense of humor and dark side.
Yeah, it definitely is a dark side, you know. If you like movies like The Seven Psychopaths and Pulp Fiction, then you'll love the book, I would think. But anyway, well, I don't know how I got off topic like that, but I appreciate, you know, you reaching out to me and enjoy. I'm glad you enjoyed the book as much as you did, and I hope other people will as well.
Well,
it seems like I'm getting more good stars than bad stars at this point.
Well, actually, we did our giveaways to our four people. Our last one was announced on our last podcast, and the three out of the four that we had have already read it and loved it.
Oh, awesome. All right.
The fourth one hasn't gotten it yet, so we can't count her.
Well, that's good. Let me know. I can always send you a couple more if you want to do another one.
That's so nice. So, you know what? I want to do it again when you have your next book.
Okay. All right. See, you're going to force me into doing it sooner than later.
Probably. Well, I'm trying.
I am a procrastinator,
I'm not going to lie. I am kind of trying to push you kind of hard, but I know everybody has other things that has to get done first. But we sure appreciate you coming on the show and doing a little interview with us.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you so much again for having me. I love it. I love your show. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Get Crazy as Crazy Does, The Life of a Serial Killer, at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, where you can get it in paperback or exclusively through Amazon. Between November 4th and November 9th, you can get an ebook for 99 cents. So don't hesitate. Find us at patreon.com/shinythingspodcast. Follow us on Instagram at shinythingspodcast. Find us on our Facebook group page called Shiny Things Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at shinythingspod1. You can email us at shinythingspodcast@gmail.com. Don't be shy. Use any of our social media to send us show ideas, some love, or share additional details we may have missed. Remember to like us and give us 5 stars on your favorite podcasting platform. Until next time, thanks for listening.